thank God for all of you that are viewing. This Present Truth is on the air. I'm your host, Pastor Mark Copeland. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for bringing us together once again. As we open the Word of God, we pray that you will help us today with an unction from the Holy One and an utterance that only you can give. Father, we plead with you by your Spirit to open the Scriptures to us so that we can see what you're saying. Give us practical examples and help us to understand this life that you're trying to bring us into by faith. Thank you, precious Lord, for hearing us. For we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank God for all of you. I'd like to draw your attention to the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter. Ephesians, the fourth chapter. I'd like to share a little bit on the new creation, the importance of understanding the new creation. And mostly in the epistles, we find the Apostle Paul mentioning this new creation. In chapter 4, after he shares the ministry gifts and their importance to the body of Christ, how the body of Christ comes together and is unified, verse 17 in the New King James says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God, because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanness with greediness." Verse 20 is a verse that we want to focus on. "But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts." And here it is, verse 23. "And be renewed in the spirit of your mind." Be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, it's very important, brothers and sisters, to understand that the current world system that we're living in, that is corrupt, is beginning more and more to manifest in our day to the point where it's difficult to identify who really is a Christian. We understand that people are professing to know Christ, but through things that they say, behavior, and the lifestyle that they lived, it's just simply not true in a biblical context. So it's very important that we understand the nature of those who are Christ-like. A Christian is not someone that's just saying they've met the Lord or they've encountered the Lord, but what is clear in that life that is different from those that are living in the world system or those that are worldly. It's very important to know that we're living in the last days, and the Apostle Paul said in his letters to Timothy that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall become lovers of themselves, and all the list of things that we see in that passage and has unfolded in our day. And it doesn't matter the spectrum, whether political, whether national, it doesn't matter. The issues that we see can be identified and traced back to the nature of man. The nature of man from the beginning, even as we see in Genesis, was that nature that they had was a fallen nature that produced a different life. You say, "Wait a minute, preacher. We're all created in the image and likeness of God." This is true. Until you get to chapter 5, where Adam, the Bible says in the 5th chapter of Genesis, that he began to produce sons after his own image and his own likeness. And what we understand from that is that originally, yes, we all were created in the image and likeness of God before the fall, Because after man fell, what it did, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, it corrupted the entire nature of man, such that in the loins of Adam, every person that came through his loins came into this world with a nature that was corrupt and in opposition to God, because we see that in Adam. In chapter 3, if you go back and see what happened in the fall, is that the enemy was able to corrupt their nature through them yielding to obedience to the enemy and disobedience to God's word. And brothers and sisters, this is what has brought us to the mess that we're in today, where people will harm you because you love the president or you believe in government or whatever. People will take your life if you say something out of line to various communities or sects of people. You say anything negative and you can easily be killed even for what you believe today. And I'm trusting that God will again bring persecution back to the body of Christ so that we could be about the Father's business. And I'm trusting God that there will be a divine scattering of whatever is like God to the various areas of our world so that Christ can rule in authority. Christ can be seen as a different kind of life. This is very important for us to see. Now, Paul is addressing these new believers, and what he's unfolding to them is that there's a different life that they've committed themselves to. And it's not the same as those that are living in the world system and just living life haphazardly. Now, the point of emphasis that we want to make in verse 20, he says, but you have not so learned Christ. This is very important to our understanding, because what it says, brothers and sisters, is that Christ has to be learned. That you're not born knowing about Christ, and you don't discover all there is to know about Christ just because you go to church or just because you preach. No, Christ is a principle of life for the child of God. That is the only life that should be operating within every believer, not some dichotomy. Religion teaches two lives. Your one life when you go to church, you put on your best look and your best face. And then when you go home, you go back to the tyrant or whatever you are that you're not. The gospel does not preach two lives. One life. And Paul is saying, you guys, you didn't learn Christ the way these did. Now, there's a list here given of the lifestyle of those that are not in Christ. He says that you no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. He's pointing to the previous life that they had and the new life that's now expected. My brother, my sister, if you've received Christ as your personal Savior, thank God. You've confessed him, thank God. But does your surrender continue beyond that? Thank God you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart. Some people believe that's all you need to do, and now you can just live any kind of way you want. It's just not true. And it doesn't matter who's saying it, and it doesn't matter what they've done in a city or whatever. Some people think that they're the gatekeeper to the cities. They're not. God is. The earth is the Lord's, the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. All people belong to God, even those that are lost. Even those that aren't going to make it, they're given an opportunity for their lifestyle and their nature to become like Christ. Paul is writing, those of you that received him, you came out, you used to live and walk in the futility of your mind. Verse 18, having your understanding darkened, you were alienated from the life of God because of your ignorance, because of the blindness of your heart. If you're an unbeliever, this is your life. It doesn't matter how good you try to become. Doesn't even matter how often you go to church. It's a nature problem. It's a nature problem. You were born with the deficiencies that come out of your life if you're not in Christ. If you have yet to receive the new creation, it's just a religious version of you that's trying to please God without a wholehearted commitment. That's religion. Religion says, don't worry, you ain't got to do all that. Serve God in your activities, but don't give him your life. And by all means, do not yield your heart to him. That's the distinction here. Paul is saying, you haven't learned Christ that way. You have not so learned Christ. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him. Now, many people, brothers and sisters, can fall into this line. They can say, well, I've been taught by him and I've heard him. Then he says, as the truth is in Jesus. The truth is not in anybody else but Jesus. As a matter of fact, in John's Gospel, chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus makes this statement, a very profound statement that you need to consider. Jesus said, as it relates to the Father, I am the way to the Father. I am the truth. I am the life. What Jesus is basically saying is, I am God's truth concerning the life. It's me. Jesus even made statements like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He was a conglomeration of the entire Godhead in bodily form. This is even mentioned in Colossians, the third chapter. So, brothers and sisters, it's about Jesus. I know they're trying to turn him into the blonde-haired, blue-eyed white boy. They're trying to turn it into a white man's religion. But that's the deception of the devil. And if you've been deceived, my brother, if you are not in Christ, this verse says you can easily be deceived. You can walk in the futility of your mind. Listen what the Phillips Modern English translation says. I love J.B. Phillips' translation. He says in that 17th verse, he says, this is my instruction then, which I gave you from the Lord. Do not live any longer as the Gentiles live, the unbelievers. My brother, my sister, have you received Christ as your personal Savior? Do you still live like an unbeliever? Then something has happened, or something hasn't happened in the recesses of your heart. If you're confessing one thing and you live something else, it's because you're a hypocrite. It's because something in your heart hasn't taken root to bring you over into the transformation that can only be found in Christ. Did you commit your life all the way? Did you leave all to follow him? That's part of what some people don't do. They give God some of the stuff and then they continue on in their regular life. That's not a complete surrender, sir. And you may have confessed him as your Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. But your life after that. We need to reconsider the verses that we shared some weeks ago with you guys concerning Titus chapter 1 and verse 15. He says, to the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled, nothing is pure. Even their mind and consciences are defiled. And it says to the defiled and unbelieving, which means that a life of unbelief begins with a defilement. There's a contaminant, and it's the Adamic nature that corrupts the rest of your life, and there's nothing you can do about it. So Paul is encouraging these who have come out of darkness and now into his marvelous light, not into a marvelous church or a mega church. They've come into Christ. They didn't come into the church. They came into Christ. And this is an important lesson, brothers and sisters, because many have come to church and have never come to Christ, have never given them his life. We just gave them our stuff. You know, we gave them our issues. But did you surrender your life? Did you walk away from your previous life? If not, it could affect the authenticity of your salvation experience. Brothers and sisters, please go back to what happened to you when you received Christ. Because if nothing happened, then you're trying to exercise a life and you don't have the core of it, who is Christ. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 17. This is the Amplified Classic. So this I say and solemnly testify in the name of the Lord, as in his presence, that you must no longer live as the heathen, the Gentiles. Notice the terminology that's used for the unbelievers. Heathen, Gentiles. He says, don't live as they do. So there's a lifestyle that the Gentiles live. There's a lifestyle that the heathen live. There's a lifestyle that the unbelievers live. And it's contrary to God's way. Even if they go to church, even if they say they're believers, what is God looking at? Their life. What do we look at? Their smile, their outfit, their hair, their message. God looks at something different, brothers and sisters. He says, don't live as the heathen do in their perverseness. Here's where the distinctions begin to become noticeable. The Gentiles, the heathen, they live in their perverseness, in the folly, vanity, and emptiness of their souls, and the futility of their minds. My brother, my sister, is that you claiming to know Jesus while you live a sinful life? I'm sorry. It cancels your confession when you're not living unto God with a complete life. If you've chosen the way of sin, you've detoured from the way of the Lord. And no matter who, your apostle, your bishop might be living that way too. Both of you are living in sin in opposition to the will and the way of God. It's unfortunate, brothers and sisters, that we have these kind of people in the body of Christ today. But when you consider those who stand behind the holy desk that have not learned to live a certain way before the people, then you easily see the corruption in congregations and communities of people that attend church but are living the wrong kind of life. I wonder if that's you, my brother, my sister. What life have you determined to live? If you say it's for God, then it should be without sin. But if you're living for yourself, which most people are today, we give God our activities, but our heart belongs to us. We run our life. We dictate what happens to us. Maybe your life coach or somebody else false have taught you that that's the way to go. It's not. And you don't need a life coach or a spiritual coach. You don't need none of that. All you need is the Holy Spirit to be actively guiding and leading you, my brother, my sister. And you can step into truth and not be like these that live in the perverseness, the folly and vanity and emptiness of their souls and the futility of their minds. I want you to see how the Amplified Classic links the mindset. The mindset is linked as an emptiness of the soul. So even what they're learning, it doesn't satisfy. Even what they're understanding in religion, it doesn't satisfy the longing of the heart. That's why most people say, well, you know, I was serving God, but now I want to become an entrepreneur. You know, I want to make the money. That's mammon talking, not Christ's life. That's all mammon. Mammon drives that entrepreneurial mindset. Even if you're a believer in Jesus, what you have to beware of the contaminants that sprinkle the heart with covetousness and greed and other things that are slowly drawing you out of a secure relationship with Christ. Another lifestyle begins. My brother, my sister, it's important for us to understand that we cannot proclaim one thing and live another. It's contrary to the ways and the word of God. Again, I want you to see, in verse 18, in the Amplified Classic, their moral understanding is darkened. That's the world in which we live. The world system's morality is dark. We won't even go down that road because we run into all kind of issues with people and their sexuality and all of these things that's important to them, that God sees the lifestyle as darkness. Now, brothers and sisters, understand something. We in the natural as human beings, we see through the lens of right and wrong. God doesn't. God sees through the lens of light and darkness. That's what God sees. So the wrong and the evil is darkness. And the righteousness and the proper way to live as a believer is light. It's important to know which side you've chosen to live on, because there's no in-between. There's no hazy gray area. You are or you aren't. That's it. I want to admonish you today, my brother, my sister, to acknowledge the way of the Lord in your own life and then live it out. Don't worry about the commitments of others, because they'll change over time. People who have preached to you and led you to Christ, maybe, have turned to go in another direction and are no longer serving God with a 100 and some odd commitment to serving Jesus. No, we've begun now to serve ourselves. And we'll use God's people to do it, because as a ministry gift, we feel like we deserve that. The people owe me something. My brother, you're missing it, and you're off basis. Nobody owes you anything. If you came to proclaim the gospel, it was by mercy. It was by the grace of God. Paul said, we are what we are, but by the grace of God. So we have no excuse for our hearts to detour, and then we start misleading people. And then we want to take over at certain events and be recognized. But our life has changed. We're not the same that we were when we led others to the Lord. Now something has happened in our hearts, our morality, our understanding. Maybe it's been clouded or beclouded. Our reason, he says here, their reasoning is beclouded. They are alienated, estranged, self-banished from the life of God, with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance, the want of knowledge and perception, and willful blindness that is deep-seated in them. See, brothers and sisters, again, it's pointing to a nature. These people can't get themselves out of that predicament. You can't just alter it with a prayer. No, it's tied to your nature and who you are and your personality and everything that displays the real you. Has it been corrupted? Has sin robbed you of a clean life? It's people today, brothers and sisters, that believe that because we were born in sin, shaped in iniquity, it's impossible to live a sin-free life. It is not. That's false teaching. These individuals have never understood the new creation reality. They haven't understood it. They may have read E.W. Kenyon's book, New Creation Realities, but they themselves have never experienced that life. It's not a broke life. It's not a sinful life. It's Christ's life. It's holy. It's blamelessly lived unto God. So I want to admonish you. Here, he says, these are some of the reasons. He says, there's something deep-seated in them due to the hardness of heart and to the insensitiveness of their moral nature. Now, brothers and sisters, in closing, you know as well as I do that most of what we're seeing today in the lives of people is pointing to a morality that is out of control, that can no longer be contained or maintained. It's out of control. It's in the church, it's in the business sector, it's in the government. You see it everywhere. And I want to say, it's the same person, Adam, undeveloped and no longer in Christ. You're either in Adam or in Christ. You can't be in both. So if you've been delivered from the powers of darkness, as Colossians 1:13 says, then you're in Christ. Forgiven of your sin, God said, I will remember your sin no more, washed in the blood, and redeemed as a child of God, brought into the ecclesia, the church, by the Holy Spirit. That once you come into Christ, the Holy Spirit baptizes you, immerses you into the body, and brings you into God's family. No man can do that. No offering can do that. No bishop can do that. No. It's false. Brothers and sisters, if that has never happened to you, you are not a child of God. You just might think you are. You might be calling yourself that. But the way you live your life is not based on the conviction of the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, when most people sin, there's no conviction at all. They never even felt anything that was wrong about it, which leads us to continue to live in that life because our conscience has been defiled and has told us, that's okay. That don't tick. That won't make God mad. That won't tick God off. So I want to stop here long enough so that we can pray, brothers and sisters. There's something that we need to consider today. And I want you to see that there is a way to learn Christ. Paul mentions the way to not serve God. And then he says how to serve God by learning Christ. He says, you guys didn't learn Christ like this because I know I taught you the truth. Now, when he's talking about learning Christ, brothers and sisters, he's referring to a new person, a brand new person, a new man. He says, put on the new man. This is what we wanted to get to. In verse 22, he says, strip yourselves of your former nature, put off and discard your old unrenewed self, which characterized your previous manner of life and becomes corrupt through lusts and desires that spring from delusion, and be constantly renewed in the spirit of your mind. Here it is, having a fresh mental and spiritual attitude. We're talking about something, brothers and sisters, that begins in your spirit and takes you into the realm of the spirit for the lifestyle that God has for his children. It's not a natural life. That's the beginning. First, that which is natural, then that which is spiritual. The spiritual life is after you've come in from the natural. Every man and woman is born of a woman into that natural life by nature. Even if you change your gender, alter your binary, become whatever, to God, what the equipment you came out with is who you are. You want to change yourself, that's your business, but you will have to give an account to the Creator if that's not what he intended for you. And no voice or other group should persuade you to become something else. No. Who God made you is who you are. And you were made with a purpose and a responsibility to fulfill. I'd like to pray, brothers and sisters, I know this is a lot for this podcast. We'll try to do a part two coming back next week. But it's important to understand that if you're in Christ, there's a way to learn him. And you can't learn him by listening to the world system, following the political status. It will corrupt you. It will have you feeling like no child of God has hope in this world. Listen, brothers and sisters, God can protect his people from whatever happens on the planet. It doesn't matter what it is. All you got to do is go through scripture. God protected those that he was using. Daniel was involved in the political structure, opposed the current government. God protected him. Same with Joseph, protected until it was time for God to use him and implement his plan in the world system to bring righteousness. May the Lord help us to see that the beginning of where we are in Christ has everything to do with the life that we lead. Would you like to pray about that today? Talk to the Lord about that. Maybe you've compromised in areas because you saw others compromise. I know I did. I was just caught up in those that weren't living right, and I started not living right too without knowing. That's just something that happens. If you're under that kind of authority, my brother, my sister, I want to say, leave it before it corrupts you. I know what it's like to see leaders and blatant sin in their life. I know what that's like. But you got to leave that, and you have to give an account to God for your own life and what comes out of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for these that are viewing today. I know that this is a different approach, and I know that many things are coming out in this. But Lord, we want to focus on those who are learning Christ. Too many are learning church and have yet to discover the reality of who Jesus is. They sing about him and sway in a choir with robes, but have never met him, have never encountered the grace of God that brings us into the salvation experience. They've never heard the gospel proclaimed that is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Lord, bring us back to a basic understanding of how to come into Christ. Coming in humility. Coming, laying down our lives, coming with our sin and unrighteousness, saying, Lord, I can't free myself by myself. I need your grace. I need your mercy to help me. confessing that, whatever it is, and leaving it in God's presence so that he can free you. What Jesus did on the cross broke the power of sin over any life that would commit that life into God's hands through Christ. Thank you today, Lord, for helping us bring these into a genuine saving knowledge, not some church experience where they may have had an epiphany that wasn't authentic. Father, in Jesus' name, cause them to encounter you afresh to the point where, like the Apostle Paul, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And you said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." Thank you for helping us today, Lord. You will bring us into this understanding clear as you open the scriptures to us. We bless you and we give you praise. For in Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you, all of you that are listening. We'll be back on next week for part two of this new creation experience. And it's important for you to go back over some of these scriptures. We'll look at some others, but we're trusting that the Lord will help you in your understanding. And until next time, we'll be back again with more scriptures to share with you out of God's word. Thank you so much for joining us in this episode. I'm Pastor Mark of This Present Truth. We're signing off. We'll see you next week. By God's grace.